We're going to be in 2 Thessalonians. We have several sessions to go in 2 Thessalonians. We're going to be in chapter 2, starting in verse 6 and going through verse 9 this evening. We're dealing with the subject of the day of the Lord. In verses 1 and 2, Paul deals with false teaching that made its way into Thessalonica. Apparently, someone had communicated a message to the church at Thessalonica that the day of Christ had already come and that they were in the tribulation. Of course, Paul had sent no such message. This false teaching upset these new converts. There will always be false teaching. And the antidote for being upset by false teaching is knowing the truth as taught in the scriptures. Now, to get to know the truth, we need to have people that are faithfully teaching the truth in the local churches, and the believers need to be attending faithfully. And also, that's not enough. They also need to be studying the Bible on their own. The antidote for false teaching is knowing the truth. We've already seen that there was false teaching in Thessalonica. Note what it says. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand, or as that the day of Christ has come. Now, I've got a paragraph here that's not in your notes, so you need to realize that you've had this before, but I'm going to repeat it for emphasis. Remember that the day of Christ is not the same as the day of the Lord, even though Christ is the Lord. The day of Christ refers to the rapture, whereas the day of the Lord refers to the tribulation, the second coming of Christ, the millennium, and the great white throne judgment. There is confusion because some, and it's only a few, very few manuscripts, Greek manuscripts, read the day of the Lord rather than the day of Christ. And because most of the modern translations have adopted the day of the Lord as their reading. However, the King James translators have adopted the reading from the Textus Receptus set of manuscripts known as the received text or the majority of text rather than from the Westcott-Hort text which appeared in the 1800s. The translation Lord may lead someone to accept a post-tribulation position regarding the coming of Christ rather than a pre-tribulation position regarding the rapture. And of course, they've changed this in the text without indicating it to you. And some Bibles that have the day of Christ actually will have a note saying that some manuscripts read the day of the Lord, adding to the confusion. Leave it alone as the day of Christ. Okay, it is the rapture. We've noted some characteristics of the tribulation starting in verse 3. For anyone to be in the tribulation, several things which had not happened and still have not happened would have to have taken place. There would be great apostasy. Well, people say, well, there's apostasy now. Yes, but not like this. Remember that at the rapture, every single believer will be removed, and the only thing left living on planet Earth will be unsaved people. Of course, there's going to be a great apostasy. Then there will be the manifestation of the Antichrist. He's going to show up, but not until then. He's not here where you're going to know who he is now. Now, he could be alive today. We don't know, because we don't know when the rapture is coming. And then there will be the removal of the Holy Spirit, who is the divine restrainer of sin. We've seen great apostasy. Verse 3, the first half. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, meaning the day of Christ, which refers to the rapture and not to the day of the Lord, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That's the apostasy. Then there's the revelation of the Son of Man in the second half of verse 3 down through verse 5. And we looked at these verses this past Sunday evening. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, he's the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? So he's reminding them that he had already explained these things to them. But you know, if you've done any teaching at all, or if you have instructed your own children at all, you know that they don't always get it the first time or tenth time that you tell them. Especially some children who are particularly strong-willed and hard-headed. Kind of like some of mine have been, all right? They did take after their mother, you realize. No, I'm teasing there. Most of them seem to take after their father for good or ill. One of them did ask, how come we got all of your good qualities and all of mom's bad qualities? He was just having some fun that day. We need to understand that we don't always remember the things we're told, or we don't get them straight. As we continue in this message this evening, we see that there will also be the removal of the restrainer. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 6 indicates that the man of sin, meaning the Antichrist, has not yet been revealed. Therefore, the Thessalonian believers were not experiencing the persecution of the tribulation period, and they should not be confused about this. And now means at the present time, when 2 Thessalonians was being written, ye, meaning you Thessalonian believers, know, meaning you see, you perceive, or you recognize what withholdeth. What is holding back, or what is restraining? In the Greek text, withholdeth is the same word translated letteth in verse 7. We'll see that in just a little bit. That in the clause, that he might be revealed in his time, is understood in the sense of in order that, or for the purpose that. He, what withholdeth that he might be revealed. He refers to the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the one who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He is the one who sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, but he is not God. He's the Antichrist. Remember, this is what's going to go on in the tribulation period, when you as believers won't be there. Might be revealed means might be made known or might be disclosed. In his time is in his own time, or in the time belonging to himself, where his is understood as referring to the man of sin. God has appointed a time when the Antichrist is going to be made known to the world, and he's not going to be revealed a moment sooner or later. He will be revealed at the exact time of God's choosing. Although Paul wrote that the Thessalonians knew what or who was restraining the man of sin from being revealed, he did not identify the restrainer in this epistle. So a number of guesses have been made regarding the identity of this restrainer, ranging from the Roman Empire or a particular Roman emperor to Satan. Some excellent expositors have stated frankly that they do not have any idea who or what the restrainer is. I don't know where they've been thinking, but they're not thinking the way we think. In my view, the restrainer is God the Holy Spirit. He's the one who has taken up residence in believers. So when the believers go, he goes. All right? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. As translated, for introduces an explanation of the previous statement. It might instead be used to continue the thought of the passage in the sense of now, or to indicate an emphasis in the sense of indeed, in fact, or certainly. The mystery is the secret or the secret teaching. The mystery of iniquity is the mystery, the secret or the secret teaching of lawlessness. And it is describing the mystery. It is the mystery, meaning the secret or the secret teaching characterized by lawlessness. The thought, by the way, you hear these people that want to seem to abandon all authority, all prisons, let all prisoners go free, let anybody come into the country that wants to come in, all that kind of nonsense, they'll fit right in here, won't they? Doth already work means is already at work, is now at work, or is by this time at work. You see, sin has been around a long time and has been opposing the work of God from the time of the rebellion of Lucifer against God. But sin has always been checked or restrained. Only describes a verb which must be supplied, such as will let or will restrain. He who letteth is the one who holds back or the one who restrains, and in my understanding, refers to the Holy Spirit of God who restrains sin. Letteth is the same word translated withholdeth in the previous verse. The Holy Spirit is restraining the advance of the mystery of iniquity. The Antichrist will not be revealed as long as the Holy Spirit restrains his advance. He who now letteth will let. Now suggests at the present time. Will let is used to mean will restrain or will check, and suggests that the one who is presently restraining sin will continue to restrain sin until he be, which means until he is, taken out of the way. Until he, meaning until the restrainer be taken or is removed out of the way, meaning out of the middle. Now, the time that the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way as the restrainer of sin coincides with the rapture. Although the Holy Spirit presently indwells believers in this church age, he will apparently not be indwelling tribulation saints. The rapture will produce a reversal of Pentecost, which would be when the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers. When believers are removed at the rapture, the Holy Spirit will no longer restrain evil through them. The Holy Spirit will continue to be active during the tribulation, but he will no longer be restraining the advance of the Antichrist. In verse 8, we see the destruction of the man of sin. 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall destroy with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." And then shall that wicked be revealed. And then suggests, and at that time, meaning at the time when the restrainer is removed. Shall be revealed is something which will definitely occur, and it means will be disclosed or will be brought to light. That wicked is the lawless one and refers to the mystery of iniquity or of lawlessness in verse 7. The same person described as the beast out of the sea in Revelation 13, 1 through 10. He's also been described in Daniel 9, 26 through 27 and Daniel 11, 36 through 12, 1. Now we'll look at these passages when we finish the comments on this verse. When the lawless one or the I misread that. It's whom. I'll adjust my glasses. Three different places. They're trifocals. And it dropped down to where I was in the middle one instead of the lower one. All right, sorry, that's my problem. The whom, meaning the lawless one or the Antichrist, the Lord, meaning Jesus, shall consume, means will annihilate. With the spirit of his mouth is by the spirit or breath of his mouth, and suggests that he will speak a word and will thereby consume this wicked one who is none other than the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist's consumption or annihilation will occur in battle, because Revelation 19:20 and Revelation 20:10 make it abundantly clear that he is not annihilated or consumed in the sense that he will be burned up in the lake of fire and will no longer exist. Revelation 19:20 says, "And the beast," that's the Antichrist, "was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought or worked miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone." Note Revelation 20:10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone," that's burning sulfur, "where the beast and false prophet are." They're still there. They haven't been annihilated or consumed, "and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, when does forever and ever end? It doesn't. Just as heaven is eternal, and just as life for believers is eternal in heaven, so hell, meaning Gehenna, or the lake of fire, is eternal. And the punishment of the Antichrist in hell is eternal. It will last forever and will never end. You don't want to join him there, by the way, so make sure you're truly born again. "And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." And shall destroy is also something that is definitely going to happen. It means and will abolish and will wipe out and will set aside or and will bring to an end with the brightness of his coming. Means by means of the appearing or appearance of his coming, which is a reference to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus appears at the second coming, he will cast the Antichrist into the lake of fire. And then we see the text of Revelation 13, 1 through 10, with a few comments. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, that would be the Mediterranean, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, if we had gotten to it in Revelation, and I've already referred to it in the study of Daniel, the beast is actually imperial government, not only the government, but also the king himself. And each head represents one of its empires. It's not the seven hills in Rome, okay? There are actually more than seven anyway. As indicated by Revelation 17:10, the seven heads represent seven successive empires, all of which were imperial governments. There was Egypt, there was Assyria, there was Babylon, there was Medo-Persia, there was Greece, there was Rome, and there will be the revived Roman Empire represented by the Antichrist. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. You've seen those before in Daniel. And the dragon, that's Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. In Daniel 7, Babylon is represented as a lion. Medo-Persia is represented as a bear. And Greece is represented as a leopard. The dragon is Satan. And I saw one of his heads, that's this beast out of the sea having seven heads, I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The head wounded with a deadly wound is the Roman Empire, which for many years made the beast appear to be dead, but a revived Roman Empire headed by the beast eventually takes its place, but that'll probably not be until the tribulation. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast. See, they worshiped the dragon. That's Satan. When they worship the beast, they're actually worshiping Satan. When people worship idols, they're actually worshiping Satan. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Why do people want to talk the way they do today with all the blaspheming they do with their language? It didn't used to be that way, but it is now. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. That's the length of the second half of the tribulation, the great tribulation. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, to slander his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. This is during the tribulation now. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Everybody except those who get saved during the tribulation will worship the Antichrist as if he were God. Saved people will not do that. And there will be many saved during the tribulation, and they will be martyred. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. So listen up, you have ears. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity, and he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. The believers won't have any problem being happy when he gets killed. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. It keeps them going, knowing that God is going to deal with this rascal one of these days. And after 80, Daniel 9:26 and 27, in the vision of the 70 weeks. And after 62 weeks, that sounds very much like 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off. That's speaking of the crucifixion, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. Jerusalem will be leveled as if by a flood, but because of the terrain, it's not very likely going to be a flood of water. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That's for 7 years. That's the Antichrist. He'll confirm the covenant with the Jewish people for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, that's right in that 3.5-year period of time, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. He's going to be known as the abomination of desolation from this verse. As we move on into Daniel 11:36 through 12:1, we read, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. This is the Antichrist again. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at the time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and many ships, and shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall also enter into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to take or to make away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas. That's between the Dead Sea and the Mediterranean, in the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people, that's Israel, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. That would seem to be a book of life, their saved people. Revelation 19:11 through 21. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. This is a reference to Christ. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. This is speaking of the second coming. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Remember in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Christ. And the armies which were in heaven followed him, were upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress and fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all the men, both free and bond, both small and great. The birds are going to have a feast with all the dead bodies. And I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. They're going to try to make war with Christ. And the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and that had worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. Suggests he just speaks a word and they all get killed. All the fowls were filled with their flesh. Well, so much for what's going on at that time. This is all in the tribulation. And then we see in verse 9 the deception of the man of sin. It's going back to the Antichrist here. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Even him has been supplied by the translators, as you can tell because of the italics, so that the reader will understand that the Antichrist is the one about whom the statement is being made. Whereas the last use of the word coming referred to the Lord's coming, this coming refers to the coming of the lawless one, meaning the Antichrist, and it's made clear by what follows. Whose coming is after, is whose coming is in accordance with, or whose coming is in relation to the working or the operation, the activity or the action of Satan. With all power and signs, meaning miracles, and lying or deceptive wonders, describes the Antichrist's coming. Miracles will be performed in order to convince people that the Antichrist is to be followed. The Antichrist does not necessarily work these miracles himself, although the scriptures do not state definitely that he will not. But the scriptures do indicate that the false prophet who accompanies the Antichrist works miracles. Verses 11 through 15 of Revelation 13 detail this. And I beheld another beast, this is the false prophet this time, coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. That would be the first beast, be the Antichrist. And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, meaning the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. Remember, the imperial government, Rome, the Roman Empire appeared to be dead and the wound was healed. Then you get the revived Roman Empire, which is not in place yet. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, you're not going to be there. You don't have to worry about this, but saved people who get saved during the tribulation will be there, and they will be required to fall down and worship this beast, this image of the beast, the Antichrist. And if they won't do it, they're going to get killed. You know, you want to live any longer? This is what you do. Otherwise, you're going to die today. It's going to be awful during that great tribulation period. Praise God, we won't be there. Although false teaching was being spread that the suffering the Thessalonian believers were experiencing was that of the tribulation, they were not in the tribulation. Immediately after the rapture, there will be a great apostasy. This is because everyone who will be left on the earth immediately following the rapture is an unbeliever. The Antichrist will also be revealed. He will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. He will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, but he's not. There will also be the remover of the restrainer, whom we've identified as the Holy Spirit. And as a result of his being removed, sin will no longer be restrained. At the second coming of Christ, the Antichrist will be destroyed and cast into the lake of fire. And a lot of that is background to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I trust it's been helpful to you. Let's have prayer, and then Jesse's going to come with the prayer requests. Our Father, thank you that we have this privilege of being here tonight and of studying this portion of thy word. Help us to understand it. There's some difficult things in here, but your Holy Spirit knows exactly how to teach us. We ask that you'll bless these dear people, meet their needs. Thank you for each one in Jesus' name. Amen.